Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Gatsby, he had a grand vision for his life since he was a boy.
I'm gonna fix things just the way they were before.
Just you and me.
No amount of fire could challenge the fairy tale he had stored up in his heart.
Will you still love me when I'm no longer young and beautiful?
Is all this made entirely from your own imagination?
When I got nothing.
But I had the uneasy feeling that he was guarding secrets.
I know you will.
I wish I'd done everything on earth with you.
That's a trailer to the movie The Great Gatsby, the latest incarnation of this great American novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald. One of my favorite novels of all time. I recently reread it, and every time I read the book, I'm stunned at the quality of the story. And the story itself is of great sorrow, great tragedy. It's a good story in and of itself. Does it say something to the Christian? Does it speak toward or even against a Christian worldview? And how does the movie do with telling the story of The Great Gatsby? Joining us to review the movie, The Great Gatsby, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
It is very difficult to take a novel of this stature and turn it into a movie, especially when you're trying to do it for, what, the third time or something like that. In a general sense, and I always like to know about this, is the movie faithful to that great novel?
It's pretty faithful. I was really surprised at how faithful it was. In fact, getting ready for today, I went on YouTube and grabbed a couple of clips off of the old Robert Redford one and watched them. And the current one plays the text of the story much closer than the Robert Redford one does, actually. So I was really, really excited and happy with how they brought it all together.
Is this in any sense a work of fiction, this film, to which the Christian is going to say, I recognize something of my worldview in the story of The Great Gatsby?
That's an interesting question, because he, like Fitzgerald, who wrote the book, he was a Roman Catholic. He grew up as a Roman Catholic and had Catholic clergy in his family, even, I believe. And he was kind of fighting against his Catholicism along the way, but he's got things that you would recognize. So one of the things is this sense of everything is being watched. So this omniscience of God as being part of it. Now, he kind of comes at it in a different sort of a way in the book itself, and he gives you this impression that he's of two minds about it. So he gives you the impression that God is more like the way that foreign other gods in the Old Testament are described. Like, they're pieces of wood, they sit there, they can't do anything. So he would say that at the very least, if God can see what's happening, he's not doing anything. So there's kind of this cynical approach to God in there.
Let's take a break right there. When we come back, we'll talk more about the movie The Great Gatsby. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the movie The Great Gatsby. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Pastor Giese, we went into the break with you telling us that the picture of God, and it is a very strong metaphor in both the book and the film, of God as kind of seeing all things but doing nothing about it. You said that's a rather cynical view. How does that play out in the course of a story where this kind of all-seeing deity sees people, there's adultery, there is deception, there is, I guess you could call it manslaughter, all under the unacting gaze of this God.
Yeah, this is, there's a character in the film and in the book who's the cousin of one of the central characters, and you kind of, through his narration, get to see things. And in the movie and in the book, there's this kind of affinity just glanced at between the image for God, this all-seeing sort of eye, is this giant billboard. And the giant billboard, Baz Luhrmann, the director, uses it all over the place in the movie. And it's this symbol of that omniscience. So the narrator has this kind of relationship with those eyes in a way. And then you also get to see things that he wouldn't actually be able to know. So as you're reading the book or you're watching the movie, you come across with a better picture of everything that's going on. And it is a sordid tale. There's lots of terrible things happening. And there is this sense that there needs to be some sort of justice for what's happening. And there's the tension. The tension is, we can see all of this happening. We get the kind of bird's eye view of it, and we want something to happen, some sort of justice to be enacted. And the tension is in that through the whole film. So the question is, who, why, what, how is that going to happen? And that's kind of the exciting thing. I remember watching this movie, and there was this pivotal scene. And I'd read the book, and I knew what was going to happen, but the way that it was set up, it was this, they're in this hotel room, and it starts off, and there's this block of ice, and they're chipping the block of ice with an ice pick, and the windows are open, and you're thinking to yourself, is somebody going to get stabbed with an ice pick? Is somebody going to get thrown out of a window? I know that they're not going to, that's not going to happen, but there's this sense that something has got to happen with all of these characters.
So in spite of his critique of God in the course of telling the story of The Great Gatsby, it sounds as though the film still operates on the assumption that people just can't get away with what they're getting away with indefinitely.
Exactly. And somebody has to somehow, some way, somebody has to pay for it. Now, for it to be fair, certain characters should pay for it. But they're not necessarily the ones that do. So again, that is another kind of layer of what Fitzgerald is investigating. You know, as a Christian watching it, you know, we're reminded that none of these characters are good. Like my wife said, I don't like any of these people. they're not really likable. Even the ones that you're supposed to like, they're not likable either, right? Like they've got secrets, they've got real issues, and they are terrible, terrible sinners. And you would hope that some of them would be righteous in some way, that they would have faith in Christ, but that's not in the cards for these people, for the most part. That's not a major theme. So you're really stuck with these people, and they're not good people, but somebody somehow has to pay for it. And as a Christian, you're watching it, and you know that in actuality, there is somebody who paid for all of the terrible, awful people, which is all of them, and that's Christ Jesus. And he paid for it on the cross, and he didn't deserve what he got when he paid for it all for us. So as a Christian, you kind of end up thinking about that as you're watching it, which is a really interesting place to be as you're watching the film.
Is it, I think sometimes, and we have in the first part of the 21st century, had a whole spate of films that we could probably run out an entire list of that are tragedies. They tell stories of tragedy, but they are a tragic story told in a literally godless universe where bad things simply happen. Consequences are just the way the mechanistic universe runs. Is that the way it's working in The Great Gatsby? Is it this kind of nihilistic tragedy that's being told?
I guess there is a certain layer of nihilism in it, except for the fact that this Nick Carraway character, who's the narrator, he's not a nihilist. You know, he starts off, the book and the film starts off with this line that he has, and it says, "In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over in my mind ever since. Whenever you feel like criticizing anyone, just remember that all the people in this world haven't had the advantages that you've had." And the Christian hearing that hears Jesus' words embedded in there, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." He's the least judgmental, most forgiving, and most optimistic character in the plot of the story, both in the book and in the movie. And he's very forgiving of Gatsby, the central character, in a way that, you know, some people will think to themselves, why are you so forgiving of him? He doesn't deserve all of that forgiveness.
One of the things that comes across very strongly in the story is a theme of self-destruction, whether someone is aiming at it or not, that sin is not only self-destructive, but destructive to other people, that actually does it. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
These characters, a lot of them are rich and bored. They have a lot of money, and they have a lot of time on their hands, and they're not fulfilled in their lives. And it's leading them down bad paths. And you see this, and there's a real discrepancy between the working class and the rich class in it. The really interesting thing I find, and like, it's a romance movie. Like, that's kind of how it's billed. But it is a tragic romance. And it doesn't... Everything looks nice on the surface, but then when you get under the surface, you realize that, yeah, adultery is a problem. It doesn't end well. Lying is a problem. It doesn't end well. Cheating and stealing are problems. They don't end well. Coveting your neighbor's wife from across the bay, staring at the green light, doesn't end well.
Now, there's a little detail in the novel, and I wonder if it came across in the film. And that is, I don't think I'm giving anything away because the plot's so well known. In the end, Gatsby is killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the story of the funeral is told, nobody shows up except for Carraway.
Yeah.
But in the novel, it's a Lutheran pastor. They explicitly say this. A Lutheran pastor who agrees to do this rich man's funeral that no one else is really interested in doing because his life has proven so scandalous. Does that come across?
They didn't say that it was a Lutheran pastor. But you know what? That is, it's really interesting because I was just at the St. John Chrysostom's Lutheran Preacher's Retreat. And we were focused in on the article on justification from the Augsburg Confession. And forgiveness, understanding justification, I understand. Like, it's interesting that that should be in the novel. And when you think about it in the movie, like, Nick is the only one that's there. He's the only one that actually forgives Gatsby for everything. And a Lutheran pastor would understand that. That's a very fascinating little detail. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to have to sit down and really closely reread the book again.
With only about 30 seconds here, any cautions that you would issue as a pastor to someone who you might take to this film, what age you might take to this film?
It's not a kids' movie, so obviously little kids shouldn't go. If you are... Let's say you're late high school and you've read this because it's part of your curriculum, or you're in English lit class and something like that in college. Then great, go see it. As an adult, I was surprised that it was a little tamer than I thought it was going to be in terms of the sexual content. But it's still in there, and I guess there's a couple intense moments just in terms of everything coming to a head, but it's not a hard R film. Like, it's a PG-13 film, so 17, 15, older would be good.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of The Great Gatsby at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be spending some time talking with Dr. Reed Lessing of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about the prophet Elisha. Now, that means we'll also be telling a lot of Elijah's story, but that's okay. We'll be in 1 and 2 Kings tomorrow with Dr. Reed Lessing. We'll also discuss the vocation of fatherhood in advance of the Father's Day weekend. Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy will be our guest. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is a great guide. It's not a how-to. It's a great guide on bearing witness to Christ to friends and family. It's called What They Need to Hear by Pastor Clement Preuss. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.